Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Precious Father, for the privilege of fellowship, thank you for the honor of serving you in your courts. Thank you, Father, for the joy of understanding you and the ways of your Spirit. Thank you for the honor of administering your purposes on the face of the earth. We give you praise, we give you glory. Even tonight, Father, we know that you unveil to us secrets of your kingdom that will further fortify us and make us more effective ministers of the new covenant. Take all the praise, take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much. You are welcome to Bible study. What an energy. So beautiful to enjoy that energy of God. It's a beautiful thing. So many things happen under those such clouds. We are looking at a very important series, and I am going to continue on that. We are actually on the foundation series, and on the foundation series, we are currently considering the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the doctrine of salvation. We also looked at the doctrine of the new creation. And now we are looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In classical theology, they call it pneumatology. It's actually the doctrine of spirits. And then they zero down to the Holy Ghost. Now, this subject is very important, and I'll tell you why. It's very important because there is a code that governs the age of man. I've shared with you many times that God was many things before he began creation. God is not primarily a creator. Creation is one of the many things that God does. Because before creation began, he was. What he was doing, we don't know. Because it's not given to us to know. But before creation ever was, he is. The Bible said he's the one who was, who is, and who is to come. But by reason of biblical hindsight, in Revelation chapter 4 from verse 11, when the elders were worshiping, they said, all things were created for thy pleasure. So we know the reason creation became necessary was because God wanted to have pleasure. So when God gets serious, there may be other things he does. But now that he wants to have pleasure, creation is one of the ways that he desired to create pleasure. As human beings, for instance, if you want to have pleasure, you can go and watch football. And when Ronaldo is scoring, Messi is scoring, you are excited. But you see, God is not limited to things. When he wants to create, he doesn't need to go and watch Olympics. He said, light appear. And when light appears, he feels good. He is God after all. Praise God. Now, when he began creation, man is not the first he created. Man is actually the last born of creation. When you study the scriptures littered here and there, you are going to find some particles of information scattered in scriptures. But we understand that in the heavens and in the spirit realm, creatures are ranked. When you get to heaven, the only beings that are permitted to sit on thrones are called elders. That means there is an age that existed where certain excellencies were granted the opportunity to co-inherit and rule together with God. So their representation in the heavens were given opportunity to sit on thrones. So Revelation chapter 4 said there are 24 thrones surrounding the throne of God. And he said seated on it are 24 elders. Now when we looked at those elders and studied their reality, the Bible revealed to us that they never sat on those thrones. Because the moment God shows up, he said they fall on their faces and they cast their crown and they say, holy is the Lord. That means their preoccupation in the spirit realm is worship. And every time these beings were mentioned, the only thing they did was worship. So it's possible that the code of their civilization is worship. So you grow in that civilization to the degree that you worship God. And they, being the elders, have perfected the act of worship. So God decided to surround himself with them. You know, in the olden times, when a king is so powerful, they put orators around him. The job of the orators is when he stands up, they say, Odogu, Omekanaya, Aguji Egbe. They throw salutation. And then it will remind the king of his majesty. Those ones, if you touch them, the king will kill you. Their job is to appetize him with worship. That's what the elders do. So they surround that throne. So their age is regulated by worship. We also understand that there are other beings. They are called the beasts. They said they had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle. These ones carry the throne of God. When God moves, they move with him. And their speed is like lightning. Now, because they need to move at God's frequency, they have face on every side. Because before they turn, God may leave them behind. So when God is going this way, they just go. If God is going this way, they don't need to turn. Everywhere is face. They are creatures of glory. So the job of this man is to guard the glory of God. They are cherubims. So when you walk into the civilization of the cherubims, what gives you rank is the degree of glory that you carry. So their preoccupation is to interact with the glory and to glow in the glory. That's a code that governs their age. And then we understand there are other beings in heaven called angels. These ones run the errands of Abba. That's why they are actually called angels. Not every creature in heaven is an angel. Some are elders. Some are beasts that do the business of the glory. But angels are high commissioners. Their duty is to run the errand of God. So when God wanted a virgin to give birth, he sent an angel. And he said the angel Gabriel showed up and said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That's their job. That means in the angelic realm, what governs their civilization is service. You can't be an angel until you serve God and you serve him perfectly. The moment your service is affected, you lose the right to become an angel. So one of the angels that lived in heaven was called Lucifer. He was a creature that provided service in the area of worship. But a point came, he said, no, I can't continue serving. When I looked at God, I also have glory like God. I will exalt my throne. I want to be like the Most High. And they say, Kai, what governs your age is service. If you can't serve anymore, this realm can't accommodate you. So you will fall. So he fell from glory. The reason he fell was because what governs his age is service. And if you are not serving, you can't be an angel. So he became a fallen creature. It is from him that the civilization of demons emerged. Those who rebel against God, because their job is to align with God. And that alignment is through service. Now that you have refused to serve, you have taken another pathway. It's called rebellion. There are so many other beings in heaven. Some are called thrones. Their name is thrones. They are spirits of heaven. Others are called dominion. Others are called principalities. So they are different entities. It's a strange realm. Those who want to see heaven, if they carry you there, you may faint. You will see all kinds of creatures because there are different civilizations in that realm. But when God completed everything he wanted to do, he decided to create another civilization. Now, the Bible calls him the one that dwells in the cycles of eternity. Because every cycle is a civilization. Every cycle is an age. And if you study Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, it says when the age of man is accomplished, it says he will roll this realm away like a canopy. He will roll it away. And he will start another project. But after he did all of the things he did in the spirit realm, he decided to create another civilization. This time, not spirit. He sculpted the physical realm, the visible realm, out of the invisible realm. And when he sculpted the visible realm out of the invisible realm, he decided to create another being that is not spirit. But this being will be a strange being in that he will be both corporal and spirit. He will have physical component and spiritual component. And the way this being will live will not be like the angels anymore. Because when the angels were given autonomy, they decided to rebel. So he created another being and introduced another wisdom to govern the age of that being. And so this being he created was called man. And what he did through man was that you don't have the right to live. The only way you can live is to give expression to me. So I will form dust and I will hide myself in dust. So when you look at dust, it has no value. But locked within dust is the immortal God himself dwelling there. So man became God, hid in dust. So the code that governs the age of man is not service. Even though man will serve God by all means. The code that governs the age of man is intimacy. That was why in Colossians 1:26, when Paul was talking, he said, in case you are not aware the age you have found yourself, he said, this is the mystery of this age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means, as a man, you are not relevant in the realm of God until you know how to touch that Christ that dwells on your inside. You know, today, man wants to live independently as a man of man. So there are some schools of thought that tells you, if you think deep, they are called deep thinkers. When you think very deep, you can become a wise man and you will make your way in life. The problem with that is that life doesn't end with flesh. Because when you finish, your soul will be demanded of you. And you will be summoned out of flesh back to where you came from. Because before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. He ordained you to carry out a particular assignment. And the only way you can carry out that particular assignment is to connect with him so that he will give you the blueprint of your destiny. No matter how wise you are, apart from God, you are foolish. No matter how successful you are, apart from God, you are a failure. Because the code of your age is not to live as a man of man, it's to live as a man of God. As a man of God, not because you are a preacher. As a man of God, because God is the operating system of your being. The same way a laptop is useless without an operating system. That's how man is useless without God dwelling on his inside. So your wisdom apart from God is foolishness. Your success apart from God is failure. Because when you are about to be scored, you will not be scored on earth. You will be scored in the realm you were before you were sent into earth. And if you don't make contact with God, there will be no record there. So what governs the age of man is intimacy with God that hides on his inside. The more he makes contact with that God will become the light that orders his step. That's why he said it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. When God created the first man, he allowed that man the choice of choosing to have him within him. So when he gave him everything in Eden, He told him there's a tree of life in the center of that garden. The day you eat of it, that's when you start living. But the man decided not to. He now aligned with another spirit. So God expelled him from Eden. Because if you don't connect to me, you can't exist in my realm. But many years later, the love of God compelled God to come back for this man and woo him to himself again and give him the opportunity of receiving him to dwell on his inside. But you see, the only way God can dwell in man now is by a spirit. Because when the fullness of God in his full glory appears, this body will melt. The Bible said the elements of the earth will melt. It said with the shout of an archangel, he will descend from heaven. Everything will vanish. Even heaven can't accommodate him. But the only way, the way he packaged himself to be able to interact with man. You know, as we are using your phone now, you are connecting with a control tower somewhere. You click on Google. You don't know the number of activities that happen before that information came to you. That thing that happens in a second, as you tap it, you connect with a mast. The mast is transmitted through fibers. That fibers travel millions of kilometers to the headquarters of Google. And it enters different, you understand what I'm saying? Different boxes where operating systems. And then it locates the exact box where the information you are looking for is derived. But the process is so fast. So when you tap it, you are looking into the sky. Your answer is not coming from up. It's actually going to a mass through fibers to a headquarters somewhere. If that mass go down, your phone will be useless. But the whole of that mass cannot be planted in your phone. But there's a technology that helps you to relate with that mass, that headquarters software, as though you are living there. So the way God wants to live through man is by depositing his spirit in the man. So when the man thinks and takes action, he's not taking action because he thought outside of that spirit. He's taking action actually because before he spoke and acted, he connected with that spirit and said something. The same way I carry my phone now and I want to check love on Google. As I type love, the answer that displayed here didn't appear here. The answer that displayed here is what the headquarter mast sent to me. So I must interact with that software in Google's headquarter before an answer comes here. So if you too go into the world, you don't have an opinion. Before you say anything, you are supposed to connect with the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Ghost gives out that you will say. If you begin to function like that, then in the realm of God, you are alive. If you are not functioning like that, you may be breathing oxygen. But here, they say you are dead while you are walking. So it is possible to be dead and be walking. Because what God considers life in his realm is not breath. It's the fact that 24/7, real time, you can connect with the Holy Spirit on your inside. And everything you say is supposed to be the opinion of the Holy Spirit. Every action you take is supposed to be a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So we will no longer know any man after the flesh. So when this person is speaking, we know that through him, the wisdom of the Holy Ghost is communicated. When somebody else is speaking, we know that through him, the power of the Holy Ghost is communicated. All of us becomes different expression of the God that is hid on our inside. So when you come into our fellowship and sit down, when you are watching us, our manifestation will be defining who God is. We will become a portrait that reveals God. But if you don't know that the code that governs humanity is intimacy that results in God flowing out like liquid water, you will be wise in your understanding. And the Bible said, him that liveth for pleasure or for himself, he said he's dead while he's walking. So the subject of the ministry of the Holy Ghost is so important because what it attempts to do is to draw your reference back to the Holy Ghost so that you begin to live by the Spirit. Because without the Spirit, you have no life. What functions or operates through you outside the Holy Spirit is the same thing that powers a lion, a dog, a cat. It's called the animal life. The only time you begin to live in the realm of God is when you develop a vital and functional relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's the God dwelling on your inside. And it is when you contact him that you unravel the puzzle of this age. Because the puzzle of this age is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So man begins to live the day he contacts God. The day he's able to contain God and the day he begins to express God. If that day doesn't come, he never existed. In the realm of God, he will not strike a chord. Meanwhile, he may be a governor of a state. He may even be the president of a nation. But when God shows up in that nation, there's nobody there. They are all dead men. So our success does not begin from external. Our success actually begins from within us. That we touch God. And the moment we touch God, we begin to live out what God wanted to do that made him hide in our vessel. So the hidden God is manifested when we begin to live our lives. Because we are an expression of God. Without the Holy Spirit, that would not be possible. And so I told you that because we are all falling, the first ministry of the Holy Ghost to man is the convicting ministry. The convicting ministry is actually an attempt of the Holy Ghost telling you to turn back, that way you are going is death. Outside of God is no life. You know, Isaiah 30 verse 21 said, when you are going in the wrong way, he said you hear a voice behind you. That voice will tell you to turn back. That is not the way to go. Because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end is death. So conviction is actually not condemnation. Conviction is actually an attempt of God to insist that you turn to him and live by him. Because every one of us, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 5, he said we have gone astray. Verse 6, he said we have taken our own path. Everybody have gone his own way. But when the Holy Ghost begins to walk, the first thing he does is that he invites us to come back. I am the fountain of life. Only by me can you have relevance. And so Jesus said in John chapter 16 verse 8, he said when the Holy Ghost is come, he said he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And true to his word, when the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2 and Peter spake, from Acts 2, 37 and 38, the Bible said when the men heard him, he said they were caught in their heart. And they say, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? We want to begin to live. Our world today is a world of independence. Everybody wants to do what they want to do. When you ask them, they say it's their life. Some even go and kill themselves. And they write a note and say, because of this, I felt bad. So I'm taking my life. You don't have a life. They say you were bought with a price. You don't have a life. You were bought with a price. But the reason people function like that is because they have not known the convicting ministry. A man who understands the convicting ministry is drawn back to God. And he begins to live by fear and trembling. He will never take a decision until God tells him. Have you seen people today? They are in a marriage. They claim it's God that led them into the union. And then they wake up tomorrow, they say, I'm done. I'm done. Some say, it's not working. It's not working. Meanwhile, I'm not saying some things that you think I'm saying. I know there's a warfare on marriage now, and some things has happened. Everybody now is a married teacher. That's not what I'm saying. When God allows, we will do a teaching on marriage. Are we together? To find out, are there conditions by which separation is allowed? We will look at all of that. But there are authorities that make it happen. Not this garbage they are saying on Facebook. Because when one thing happens and people are not guided, the devil will take advantage of it and create more havoc. As I'm talking to you now, there have been over 1,000 divorces. Because everybody came online. Even people who are 12 years old will now come online and say, if it's not working, leave before you die. That's not what I'm saying. Our heart bleeds for the victims of abuse. Our heart bleeds for them. And we pray for marriages. But at the same time, we know that there is a government of the spirit, a wisdom of scripture that guides the administration of marriage. So don't throw your relationship into the spectrum of the funny wisdom online. There will be a challenge. Don't go there. And that's not what I'm trying to say earlier. So please don't quote what, don't, you know, bloggers are, they are working. I know God is using them to do a lot, but they are working. You just say something, the next thing you see a title. And then you are wondering, I went the other day, I saw how to hear the voice of God. I said, have I ever done a teaching on how to hear the voice of God? I never knew I've done a teaching like that. I saw how to hear the voice of God by Apostle Michael. Where did I do a teaching on how to hear the voice? Meanwhile, they are doing a great job. They are the apostles of the new generation. They are apostles to media. Don't take what they are doing for granted. But of course, because we know that they are very zealous, we are also careful to guide our language nowadays. Before you are quoted to say what you didn't say. Sometimes they will cut something from the first 1 minute of the message, cut the other one from the 50 minutes, and from 85 minutes of the message, and merge it like a statement you made. They are strange apps now. They are strange apps. Praise God. So when the Holy Ghost begins to walk, the first thing he does is to convict you and draw you back to God. So you begin to draw your reference from God. A point comes when you don't have an opinion in your own life. Concerning your finances, concerning your marriage, concerning your job, everything you do, you draw reference from the Holy Spirit. Before you take a decision, you ask him, what will you have me do? It is what he says that you do. If he doesn't speak, you are willing to wait. Because now you know that it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. Your opinions are too minute to determine the direction that your life should go. And I said, that ministry is for every man. In fact, every unbeliever must first of all be convicted by the Holy Spirit and come under his government before his life can count. When the Holy Ghost is able to achieve that, and you are saved, properly saved, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then he enters the second phase. Because after conviction, the Bible said he will also bring righteousness. He said he will convict the world of sin. That is a turn away from the world unto God. And then he said he will convict the world of righteousness. The second order of that ministry is to make you become like God. Because righteousness is first of all in nature. Then it is right standing with God. That means when the Holy Ghost is done turning you away from sin, he also is interested in making you becoming an expression of the God that you represent. By nature and by character. You know, there is a gullible message now online. And most people peddle these messages because they have weaknesses that they are not willing to overcome. So they tell you righteousness is only a nature, that it doesn't matter what you do. It's a lie. It's not just a nature. The proof that you have that nature is your lifestyle. The proof that a baboon is a baboon is not just the fact. How do you verify the life of a baboon? You will see his appearance and you also see his actions. That's what validates him as a baboon. There is no way I can start backing now. I'm not a dog. So because I have the life of God, I speak like a man. The doctrine they are trying to get us believe is that you are a man, but you bark like a dog. That's not possible. It's a contradiction of the order. So righteousness is a nature and the lifestyle of God. That's why the Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and 10. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, it says, him that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And in verse 10, it said, little children, let no one deceive you. He said, herein are the children of God distinguished from the children of the devil. We who are the children of God, we do righteousness. So you can't be lying, fornicating, and say you are the righteousness of God. It's a joke. That is an error. It's not the doctrine of scriptures. So when the Holy Ghost convicts men of sin, he also convicts them of righteousness. Now, the righteousness dimension of the ministry of the Holy Ghost is what I decided to split to help our understanding. I said the first is transformation. The second is empowerment. The third is helps. And the fourth is revelation. So under the righteousness ministry of the Holy Spirit, there is the transformational ministry. There is the empowerment ministry, there is the revelational ministry, and there is the helps ministry. If you don't understand this, you will struggle in life. You will be the child of God, but you will live like the child of the devil. And your life will be a contradiction of your belief system. Now, we looked at the transformational ministry of the Holy Ghost, and I said there are 5 steps to transformation. The first step to transformation, I said, you are quickened into the life of God. The awareness of the life of God is brought into your soul. Because if that quickening does not take place, it will be impossible for you to live right. There are many people today that believe they are sinners. There are many people today that believe they are weak. Before you can get them to walk in strength, there has to be a consciousness realignment. It's a shift in paradigm, bringing them an awareness that they are no longer weak, because a strong God is living on their inside. And if they are willing, they can be as strong as that God. That awareness is the first protocol that makes for transformation. I've had this funny experience many times. I'm carrying something in my hand, maybe a comb, and I'm looking for the comb in the room. Sometimes I get so angry, I call somebody, I say, who touched the comb I kept here? Why would you people be touching things up and down? And then you're holding the comb in your hand. The comb was never the problem. The problem was the lack of awareness. So when the Holy Ghost comes, the first thing he wants to do for you and in you is to awaken you that everything God ever is and has is already on your inside. That awareness is the foundation of transformation. Remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. He said, all things are passed away. That is the truth. You are in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature. All things are passed away. But he said, the only time you can live it is when you become aware. So he said, behold, all things have become new. If you don't behold, you will never know you are a new creature. You will never know all things are passed away. You will never even know you are in Christ Jesus. That beholding is the first transformational ministry of the Holy Spirit. It makes you aware that things have changed. Have you been in your room before the lights are off and you are struggling and complaining that light will never be stable in this country until somebody walks into your room from outside and says, no, there's light. There have been light for 4 hours. You had light all the time, but you were not aware. So you are groveling in darkness, complaining and suffering. Not because light is not there, but because you are not aware. So when the Holy Ghost wants to transform you, the first thing he does is to quicken you, awaken you to the life of God. When he does that, then he activates the second protocol. And I said the second protocol is that he begins to show you the glorious possibilities that abound in that realm. The idea is actually to woo you, because it's a strategy of spirits. If a spirit wants you to operate in accordance to his order, he begins to woo you. Men actually learned it from spirits. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. And he said that God gave us exceeding great and precious promises. He said that by them we may become partakers of the divine, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the way God wanted to make us escape the corruption is to give us promises. Those promises are designed to woo us. So the second thing the Holy Ghost does after he awakens the life of God in you is that he begins to show you things. And so Paul, writing in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the riches and the inheritance of the saints in light. There are riches that we have in God. He said that you may know the hope of your calling and the exceeding great power that God has made available to you, the same power he wrought when he rose Jesus from the dead. You will never be aware of this until the Holy Ghost begins to show you. So for some of us, the moment we gave our hearts to Christ, we started seeing supernatural things. Those were the things that literally wooed me to pursue God. At the age of 7, I was worshiping with my mom. And while I was lying outside, the cloud shifted. And I saw a brilliant throne. And I saw someone in the form of a man sitting on the throne. And I saw a woman presenting a child to that person. And I tapped my mom. Look. This was not a trance. I saw it with my eyes. Look. What they call an open vision. Before she turned, it closed. All of those things were designed to woo me towards God. And as I'm talking to you now, what happened many years ago looked like yesterday. Because of that, I developed a lust for the supernatural. I developed a hunger for spiritual things. And every time I'm praying till today, I'm sensitive in case something will happen. I don't pray absent-minded. When I'm praying, I'm checking whether if I will hear a footstep or whether a message will come or whether something will happen. I pray with high expectation. The reason is because the Holy Ghost had shown me something beyond the skies. So I know that Christianity is not a religion. But after those encounters took place for a while, because those days I'll be working, I saw all kinds of things. I can't even share them because I don't have enough scripture to explain it. They will say it's a heretic. The day God gives me understanding, I may be able to talk about them. But I saw strange things. I've seen all kinds of creatures. I have been carried to another realm in this body. I saw beings that look like men, but their head was different from the head of a man. And they were relating with God, but they were not relating with God as we relate with God. But I can't teach it. So I know that somewhere now, there are other creatures that are not men, that are in another civilization. I don't know if it is now or in the future. I don't know whether it's in the past, but I saw other entities that are interacting with God. And I heard the name they were calling God. Teach it now, they will call it heresy. But I saw all of those things growing up. Because I saw those things, I couldn't go too far away from God. So God planned all of that to woo me, to keep me with Him. And that's what the Holy Ghost have done to every one of us here, that He has begun to transform. Some of you have seen things happen. You did a business and supernaturally it turned to your favor. You knew that this thing, there is an invincible hand that powered it. And because of that, every time you are going to do business, somewhere, somehow in your mind, you may not be an intercessor that kneel down to pray for 10 hours, but you say, God, help me. Because you have seen something and you know there's an invincible hand that advances your life. That's the second thing the Holy Ghost does in transformation. The third thing He does in transformation, after He has shown you these things and He has secured your attention, He now sends you to the scriptures and tell you, find God. And so you begin to read, you begin to study, you begin to listen to exhortation. All you are trying to do is to search God out and to know Him by experience. When you are doing that, then He begins to renew your mind. Because the only way He can renew your mind is to show you His word, which is different from everything you know. In your life and where you came from, they told you, you only help those who have helped you. Because heaven helped those who help themselves. When you now go to the scripture, you will discover that even your enemies, you should be kind towards them. Because you have read it, it will now renew your mind. It will change your approach. As you enter this third layer, transformation is already going to a high level. As you are learning these things and improving and aligning your heart, then He will activate the fourth protocol. The fourth protocol is what we call sanctification. He purges you. In sanctification, you don't read a book. He allows you to go through difficult circumstances. Because your choices is what will define where you are standing. Transformation is actually what we call the work of obedience. He has shown you from scripture that bribe is not of God. You have accepted that this is the way of God, that we should be just, we should uphold equity, and suddenly He allows you to enter a business that if you are willing to take bribe, you can get 3 million in 1 hour. And then He stands by to watch you. You will think of all the lands you need to buy, the school fees you need to pay, the clothes that you have desired that you couldn't pay, the debts you were owing. All you need to do is just to say something. And then in that period, you will die 1,000 times. If you are able to choose Him under those circumstances without compromising, He will make it more. And a point will come for a season of your life. He will carry you through the fire. But you will now discover that the fire doesn't burn everybody. Because fire carries out different assignments in different realms. In the spirit, fire purifies. On earth, fire burns. In Hades, fire torments. And now that you are walking with the Holy Spirit and is carrying you through this fire, the more you choose him, the more he will purge you. He will burn you. He will purify you until when you are done, you will become like pure gold. At that point, he is willing to show you to the world as his man. That's when he elevates you. That's when he empowers you. Because you have been tested, you have been tried. Hope you know that after Jesus was announced, he was taken to the mountain not to be glorified. He was taken there to be tempted of the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights, there were choices that he had to make. It was those pathways of obedience that made him appear as the true Messiah. Because they had announced before that he was the light of the world, but he never shone as light. It was when he came from the mountain of temptation and walked the path of obedience that the code of sanctification was activated. The moment he returned, he was proclaimed to be the light. So what made him light was not the fact that he was born light. What made him light was the fact that he passed the test of obedience. That test of obedience that the Holy Ghost subjects you to is what we call the sanctifying fire. It will purge you. He said he will thoroughly purge the sons of Levi that they will present an acceptable offering towards God. This is where many believers fail. They are telling God to empower them. They need money to sponsor the kingdom. And God said, that's fine. That is what I'm in. That's my business. I am here to empower men. But before we can trust you with this level of authority you are asking, go through this path and go through this path. And they compromise and they come back. God will take them back to the cycle. They will go back to the scripture. They need more of renewing of mind. And when he renews their mind for a season, he will send them to listen to some persons and they will hear some messages. When they finish, he will bring them again. And he will show them. The more you compromise, the more you will repeat the cycle. It's like a loop of time. You will enter. If you compromise, you come back to the class of renewal. And when he renews you again, if you, you know those days when I started learning the ways of God, we grew up where the temperature was very harsh. If you lie, before you complete, the moment they know it's lie, there is a knock on your head already. So sometimes when you are talking, just keep your hand like this because you will receive it. You know, nowadays people, the world is a global village. So they are learning the culture of America and UK where they don't touch children. It's not in our, where we came from. That time there was no internet. So sometimes if you are caught in error, they will use koboko. They will wait until everybody go. When you are the only person in the house. And nobody will come quickly to rescue you. Because the way we did it those days was that when you know you have offended, you will prepare your voice and make it sharp. So that the moment they say, come here, you start shouting, hey, hey, I'm dead, I'm dead, hey. So that neighbors will run and say, no, 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 no. So when they want to deal with you, they will wait for everybody to go to work. When they go to work and you are alone, then you will be summoned. And they'll say, that thing you said the other time. Now they have gathered all the facts. And you too know that they have the facts, so you can't repeat the lie again. And that thing you said that time, say it again. I said, say it again! Okay. I said, yeah. Before you know, something will land on your back. Shout as much as you want. They will thoroughly purge the sons of Levi. When they finish with you, the whole of that day you'll be sober. That's what the Holy, he will allow you to go through the fire. If you run away. So, as I was growing, the person I met, thank God I met him, but those days he used to pay me so much. I met Billy Akani. That's the first preacher that God led me to. And Billy Akani will carry one verse of Bible and teach for 3 days in a conference. Because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's a 3 days conference. He will not quote 5 scriptures. He will be there. And he will drive it in. He will chisel it in. When he finished, you will now be guilty. You will cry. You will cry. You will cry. When you are done crying, then you will now hear God clearly. And God will show you the places you disobeyed. You will now go back and start again. In fact, one of the illustrations Billy Akani gave those days that used to terrify me. He said when the hen sits on the egg, or the eggs, He said, three things are possible. It's either he doesn't sit and he remains an egg. But the moment he sits, it must be allowed to sit there until the time is due. Because if the time is not due, that thing can never be an egg again. And that thing will never be a chick, no matter the miracle that takes place. It will be rotting. He said, so if God is sitting on you and you don't allow him, he said, you will be like Ephraim that is half baked. So you will not be a sinner and you will never be a man of God. So you will be in oblivion until Jesus comes. They call it anathema maranatha. That is accursed until he comes. You know, when they are preaching now, they leave anathema and carry only maranatha. Come, Jesus. It's a lie. It's not only maranatha. It's anathema maranatha. In the temple those days, if a material is no longer relevant, it's accursed. They put it on the shelf. That's what anathema means. You are separated and awaiting judgment. So you are no longer a Christian and you are not a sinner. So it's only on the judgment day they will determine who you are. Are we together? So when the Holy Ghost carries you through fire and sanctifies you and he trusts you, he will now send you. That time, the fifth protocol, you can activate it yourself. So in Romans 8:13, he says, if we walk after the flesh, he said, we shall die. He said, but if we, through the Spirit, not the Spirit helping us now, he said, if we, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh, then we shall live. This time now, you know the way of fire. So, if you lie, he said, you will examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Whether that Christ in you, or you are a reprobate. So, you judge yourself this time. Because if you don't judge yourself, you will be judged. So, you know that when you came to the altar, you lied. The next service, you will tell the assistant pastor to preach. You will go and stay at the back. When they are worshiping, you lift your holy hands. You are asking for purging. Because if you come back here and lie again, your tongue will be disaligned. You may never recover again. So if you want to help yourself, you'll discover you have lied. You will, Pastor A will take today, Pastor B will take tomorrow, Pastor C will take. People will look at you and say, Kai, this pastor is a generous pastor. He's giving people platform. It's not platform. He is mortifying the deeds of the flesh. He will come to a place, people will gather in a big conference. He says, somebody should preach. You say, Kai, they are genuine men of God these days. He's genuine, but what he's doing is that he's mortifying the flesh. He's killing the flesh. When you do that, God will look at you and say, he can trust you now. And because you have judged yourself, you will no longer be judged. So what the Holy Ghost will do is that he will ventilate you. A word will come to you, and that word will become your salvation. When these five things happen to you, then you are ready for the empowerment ministry. You know why I'm emphasizing it? The last time I taught it with too much energy. People were excited. They didn't hear. I'm showing you this because these are maps in the spirit. As you hear it, you can put yourself where you are. Some of you, God is telling you, go to the world, go to the world. You carry the Bible. You say 1 Peter. Meanwhile, when you carry 1 Peter chapter 1, was you have dealt with yourself. You are completely exhausted. Around 10:30, you shower. You now say, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. You continue reading the rest in dream. You will go nowhere. God is telling you, sit on the word now. You will sit there. Paul said, give thyself wholly to these things. Then thy prophecy will be made manifest to all. And as you give yourself, you need to grow strength until you know how to use the resources of the Spirit to mortify your flesh. If you don't do this, God can't rely on you. Many people in our generation call themselves men of God, but they bring reproach to the name of God. Every day you come to the internet, you are hearing something or you are seeing something. And the evidences are strange. You will see an evidence. You will now wonder, how did man of God have this time? The reason is because they didn't mortify flesh. They use human psychology, propaganda, exaggeration, strange gifts, and ascended. And now, they have become a reproach to the name of God. If you want to be an accurate Christian, you must submit yourself to the government of the Holy Spirit until the ministry of transformation is perfected. If not, you will be the reason why our world will plunge into darkness. They will look at you and say, this is a Christian. Let's borrow him the money. Let's give him the money to keep. And they make you treasurer. The next time they check, you have packed your load from that city. Have you not seen Christians like that? Pastor Sunday was sharing with us yesterday how that it was more convenient for him to interact with a Muslim brother. If it has to do with money, before you enter a business with a Christian, you people will have to invite a lawyer. These days, they don't only sign, they will put your passport there. They will use your fingerprint and sign, because you can deny. If you want to pay somebody, they will use video camera and record the agreement when you are giving the money, because things are happening nowadays. Meanwhile, it's a Christian and a Christian that are doing business. If you don't record it, you'll be shocked. Because transformation has not taken place. And this is why we are weak in society. We can't bring the change that the world is looking for. And now they have relegated us to be another religion that constitutes a nuisance to society. A generation is rising that will correct that error. Because we are not a nuisance. However, the only way we can prove it is when we subject ourselves to the transformational ministry of the Holy Spirit. When this completes, then the empowerment ministry comes. And I told us in the empowerment ministry, four things happen. The first thing that happens in the empowerment ministry of the Holy Spirit is that He puts a grace on your life. So you become a supernatural being. After Jesus was tried, meanwhile, it's not because Jesus is a sinner. It's actually because Jesus is the pattern. So the things that happen to Jesus is a syllable to humankind that this is how men should live. So after Jesus was tried, in Luke 4:14, the Bible said He returned in the power of the Spirit. That is a scepter. The first thing that happens to you when transformation is completed is that a grace is put on your life. So suddenly, you that used to be an MC, and when you speak, people clap. You show up, and you open one scripture. And when you started talking, men began to weep and repent. And then you are wondering, what happened? The reason is because in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And your tongue had been touched with the coal of power, of fire. That is an authority. That authority is on your tongue. When you speak, your generation will listen to you. And it's not about you saying nice things. Sometimes you can be releasing the judgment of God. They can't stop. They must hear you. You know about John. They came to John to hear a sermon. And he looks at them. He says, "You brood of vipers. Who told you can escape the judgment of God? Who preaches a message like that?" Yet, the Bible said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. To make things worse, in Luke 1:80, he said the man left the synagogue. He was in the wilderness. Even in the wilderness, people endured pain to go and hear John tell them, "You are brood of vipers." The reason is because there was something on his tongue that you cannot fight. He is the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Because he has subjected himself to transformation, an authority has been given to him. And that authority is on his tongue. There are some other people that the authority rests on their eyes. And when they look, they are seeing what men don't see. And suddenly they can tell you, they will call you around 11 p.m. "Are you still awake?" You say, "Yes." They say, "You are about to do a business tomorrow. Don't do it." "Who told you I'm doing a business?" "I see what men don't see." Meanwhile, but in case you think I'm doubting, the business, the agreement is for 10 million. The person you are going to do the business, this is the name. You will now kneel down in your room with your phone on your ear. In your room, nobody is there. You will kneel down and say, "Please, what should I do next? Advise me." It's called empowerment. Christianity is not gimmick. It's a reality. And when you have this reality, it is the headings that will vet you that you are a disciple. It's not among Christians where you are doing things. Nowadays, we stage manage things to make people believe. It's because there's no empowerment. When that empowerment comes, your life becomes a wonder, because a scepter will be given to you. The second thing that happens after empowerment comes is that the kingdom begins to prosper in your hand. They tell you, 5 people started the prayer cell there, he died. May God help you. Have you received such prayers before? They'll say, "Well, that place you are going, we heard that the last 3 people that went there didn't come back." But, well, it's the work of God. They are indirectly telling you that if you want to leave, don't go there. But if you have empowerment, it is the things that defy men that become your stage of manifestation. Because your altar and your pulpit is actually not where you preach from. Your stage is actually the contradictions of life that you corrected that became a doorway for people to serve God. Most of us quote Benson in the house today in a power service so that people's faith can rise. Meanwhile, sometimes it really doesn't make sense to me. You tell Percy, Babalola did this, Percy Dahosa did this. Sir, which one did you do? You are the one here. Unless you want to go and bring Percy Dahosa to the service, you are the person we are seeing. What have you done? But we quote Percy Dahosa not because he's a good preacher. How many of you have quoted his messages? Every time you quote Percy Dahosa, you say, he raised the dead. Somebody died. Hope you know, is that raising the dead? That some people decided to do drama with that they lost their ministry. Because your altar of manifestation is not a pulpit. They are the challenges of life that you rode against an advanced kingdom without every contradiction. But the only time that can happen is when you are empowered. So the empowerment ministry of the Holy Spirit comes to advance and prosper the work of God in a man's hand. You don't need to be called an apostle. You can be a senator. But the light you beam can make you become a voice to your generation. There are many people today who are so empowered by spirit that they don't need any platform. There's a man called Plo Lumumba in Kenya. If he's talking now, nations, leaders of nations, they want to hear what he said. There's so much character and wisdom as a source of empowerment that he can tell kings how to live their lives. He doesn't need to join politics to do that. And I'm not saying you should deny platforms that God give you. Praise God. But when God empowers you, the kingdom begins to prosper in your hand. You may be selling pure water, but suddenly, that place where you are selling pure water, you will advance kingdom more than somebody that has a title of an evangelist. Because it's not the title that advances kingdom, it's the empowerment. So when kingdom is not prospering in a man's hand is because the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost have not yet been activated. He needs to go back to the transformational ministry. Because when the transformational ministry is complete, the empowerment is activated. Our generation have neglected the transformational ministry. So, we act, we dramatize, we exaggerate, we lie to create impressions, not impact. If you find yourself under pressure, know that something is wrong. Because if you are empowered, you will function from rest. You will really function from rest. When you see somebody begin to overstretch things, know that he's about to say something. And the reason those kinds of anxiety take place is because there's no empowerment. If you're empowered, you can stand like this and say, I'm praying for the sick now. God wants to heal somebody. You don't need to make a drama. If it is there, the Holy Ghost is the one touching the sickness. It's not the drama that makes it happen. You will speak and things will happen. But if all the time, it because I served in Kano, I moved to Warri. The first time I moved to Warri, I said, okay, on Sunday, let me go out and attend church. Because I just came here, I needed to know what was going on. The church I entered, they say it's power service. This prophet showed up, and I'm not calling the prophet because I'm trying to say prophets are bad. Today, apostles are worse. So don't get me wrong. He showed up, and when he finished preaching, he now brought the power water. Because the power service will be done with water. And I looked at the water was greenish. I said, is this water hygienic? Where did he get this water from? And when he brought the water, he started sprinkling the water. I quickly... I don't know what I know now. I quickly took cover because I didn't want the water to touch me. But that was not my shock. To my greatest dismay, he wanted to impart one lady. And I'm not telling you, I didn't watch it. I was there live. It's not a movie. And he poured the water in his mouth and called the lady forward and put his mouth on the lady's mouth and poured the water in the lady's mouth and say, power, power. What an impartation. He's actually following the blueprint of it's another spirit that told him that. Because you must be empowered either by God or by darkness. When kingdom begins to prosper in your hands, it means you have known empowerment. You can be singing and cripples will walk because it's not entertainment. You can be preaching and miracles will take place. People will hear you and they will leave and favor will come on them. They may not even take a note, but they will discover As they started hearing you in the last 2 weeks, doors are opening. You didn't tell them doors open to you. They are just hearing you. And favor comes on them. They now discover that, wait, in the last 3 weeks, favor, this kind of favor is not a coincidence. Because there is empowerment. So you don't need to add drama. So you listen to E.E. Adeboye. He is talking casually. The same thing is happening when he's talking casually is what is happening when Bishop Oedeko is roaring. The same thing happening when Bishop Oedeko is roaring is what's happening when Pastor Chris is trolling. So it's not about imbibing the personality of another man. Because what our generation is looking for is that they go and take people's temperament and use it as a token of power. That is not what makes a man powerful. That somebody speaks loud and power moves does not mean shouting that moves power. And that somebody speaks low. Keep your temperament. Keep your personality. Don't denature yourself. Just walk with the Holy Spirit to empower you. If he empowers you with your current temperament, things will still happen. But the sign that you are empowered, which is a natural product of transformation, is that kingdom will advance in your hand. Number three, what will happen to you is that the quality of your life will improve. He said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. If a man is empowered, the Bible said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. The reason is because there is a spirit hiding behind him, pushing and advancing what he's doing. This is why the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost is important. It begins with what? An imputation of a grace. That grace becomes your scepter. There are people that when they show up, the moment they start praying, they know things begin to happen. Their scepter is in prayer. There are other people, their scepter is in prophesying. There are other people, they have to lay hands on you. Or a robbers need to lay hands on you. But when that grace rests, then you know that empowerment has come. And usually, that grace that rests is what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's different from the first infilling of the Holy Ghost you receive. The infilling of the Holy Ghost you receive is what brings salvation. But after you have received that infilling, you need a baptism. The baptism is for the works of the kingdom. That's where empowerment comes. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he said, their eyes opened and they understood the scripture. But he told them to wait until they are endued with power. That second baptism is for advancement of kingdom. So the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost comes with what? An impartation of grace. Or what we call a baptism. Many people have not received that baptism. And the reason they have not received it is because they have violated God when God was trying to transform them. You run away from God, it's at your peril. You never prosper by running away. You must walk with him until he completes the protocol. And most of you today, the glory that God wants you to manifest in your business, in your ministry, in your job, is waiting for that baptism. And God is telling you, why not obey? Why not do this? Let this grace come on you. And you are struggling. And every day, you are begging God to do for you what he wants you to do as a sign that you are a Christian. Every one of us sitting here today needs empowerment so that we can change our world. Because if you don't change your world, it's your fault. That means you didn't follow God to a point where he could entrust you with authority. But I know that somebody here today, as he leaves this place, will commit himself to a perfect and perpetual work of obedience to the Holy Spirit. When empowerment is achieved, then there is another ministry we call the helps ministry of the Holy Spirit. The helps ministry of the Holy Spirit is a dimension of his ministry that he releases to you to make for your infirmities while you are learning to walk with him. Because walking with the Spirit, it's a complex thing. Even men, it takes time when you are working with men. Have you worked with men closely before? You admire them from a distance. But when you come close to them, you find a lot of conflicting temperaments that it takes endurance to be able to sustain. Now, when you are working with the Holy Spirit, He's sensitive. I told you before that He can be grieved. I told you He can be quenched. So there are many things that happen when you are working with the Holy Spirit, because He knows that you are human, and it will take time of intimacy before you come to that point where you are perfected. There is another ministry He activates to support you while He's helping you. I've told you many times that everybody standing is standing because He's helped of God. I remember those days when I was working with the Holy Spirit. I will come and tell the Holy Spirit that from today, I will write the date and sign. If I ever lie again, then take this calling from me and give to another person. I have troubled you enough. And before 12 o'clock, the other time it became so much, and I told the Holy Spirit, if I want to lie, give me headache. Let the headache be so intense. We would have died. If not for the helps ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because while we were falling and rising, that helps ministry was guiding us, supporting us, giving us wisdom to help us. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell you, don't connect to this person again. The reason you are doing this, being rebellious, is because you are listening to this person. You are coming to him and saying, Lord, I will never be rebellious. I will never do this. I will never be arrogant. He knows that what you are saying is genuine, but you will never achieve it. So the health ministry comes and it gives you a secret. He says, if you continue with this person, you will always be rebellious. So leave this person. And you try to leave the person, you can't. He will now say, okay, no problem. He will allow problem to come in. And you will fight yourself. That fight should have been settled. But the Holy Ghost will allow the fight for 4 years. That thing He did is helps ministry. Because if He settles that fight, you will live in rebellion for 4 years. So instead of settling the issue, he will withdraw. Somebody that is supposed to come and settle you, he will say, no, I must settle this quarrel today. When he's coming, he will forget. He will look at you when he's finished talking with you. As he reaches home, you now say, I wanted to settle them. It's the Holy Ghost that took it from his mind. He will allow that gap to be there until when you are strong. Then later, he will reunite you. What will happen to you is that you will now discover that you have gone far in life. Where that person is, that's where you too would have been. If you continued working with that person. He knows that if you continue working with that person, in 4 years you will be behind in life. So what he did was that he allowed that quarrel for 4 years. And after 4 years, when he decided to settle you finally, you will now discover that your life with that person, you are worlds apart. That person that was quarreling with you that time will now look at you and say, well done, sir. Well done, sir. If he didn't allow that quarrel, you too would have been there. But in order to allow you grow, there's a helps ministry. So he counseled you. You couldn't do it. He didn't quarrel you. He came and allowed something that divided you. After 4 years, he settled you again. Because he's not looking for quarrel, but he's interested in your destiny. It's called the helps ministry. So this is what Jesus said. He said, when I leave, in John chapter 14, verse 16, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. Because an orphan is a man without help. He said, I will send you another comforter. The word comforter is what we call allos paracletos. It means he's of the same kind. He's like me. But the job he will do is that he will help you until you mature. Have you not been there before? Sometimes the Holy Ghost tells you, I want you to read the book of John. There is a knowledge he wants to bring you into quickly. But you don't want to come into. You will never read it. Until one day you went to the office. When you went to the office, people ganged up against you. And they accused you, they lied. You are so angry. What is the meaning of this? You are trying to defend yourself. Nobody will hear you. As you now went home, there is nothing to do anymore. You will now hear a whisper. Read the book of John. Now the whole distraction have gone.
You will now be reading 1 John, you are crying. And as you are crying, he wants to teach you about love, but you didn't let him. So now that there's crisis, he has brought that whisper. Some people, he tells them, don't do this business. They say, no. They do it. It's when they lose that money. He will allow them to lose the money. The reason is because he doesn't want them to lose their future. So they will lose the 2 million naira. They will weep. When they weep and they sit down in soberness, he will now whisper something into their ear. It's called the health ministry of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to be an orphan. And if you study the Amplified, there are 7 words used for that word, comforter. One of it is the word helper. That means when you are lost, he comes to find you. Many times, even you yourself know that what you have done, you are a disgrace to humanity. If men hear what you have done, you are finished. Hope you know it's easy to accuse people until you are brought on the radar. This woman is caught in adultery, in the very act. Okay, it's true. Any one of you without sin should cast the first stone. And the Bible says from the eldest. Because the longer you live in this life, the more you will see the frailty of humanity. He said the eldest dropped their stones first and everybody walked away. When he looked at the woman, he said, neither do I condemn you. He said, go and sin no more. Because without the health ministry, none of us will see the light of our manifestation. We would have been condemned before the day of our manifestation. So, he knows your ignorance. You made mistakes. God sent men to help you. Out of arrogance, you say, I don't need any man. Hey, he will laugh. You don't need any man. He will die on this job. All the men goes. And he will take time and go and convict those men again. He will convict them. As they left that meeting, they say, God, I will never go back there again. But the Holy Ghost knows it's a weakness, it's arrogance. As they go home, one is sleeping. He now has an encounter. You show up, you are pouring oil on his head. He will now wake up and say, what is the meaning of this? God will say, go back. Another one wakes up, and then he's about to make a mistake. The Holy Ghost uses your voice and talk to him, and he takes the right decision. You say, Kai. All of them will now come back and forgive you. But because you are the leader, they will not tell you that thing you did is wrong. They will just endure it. And you will be walking as a man that God accepts. I don't need anybody. It is foolishness. When you are 60 years old and you remember, you will discover that if God didn't help you, you would have been finished. Because when you are 60 years, you will now discover that ministry you are doing. Some of the people that you would have driven 30 years ago, they are the ones that even did more of that ministry than you. There are some ministers, that are global today. They have not visited up to 5 nations. It's the men God sent to them. Some of them have opened more than 15 countries in the name of that ministry. And when they are coming for the crusade in the stadium, it's the man of God that wear white suit. They will now, everybody is saying, this man of God. Meanwhile, people are bearing weight. Hope you know it was Moses people were talking about. They didn't know that Aaron and Hur had his hand. If you come around Moses, you will discover that there's anger in his bosom. But the Bible never told you any time that they fought him. When Miriam and Aaron fought him, God came and judged them. It's called health ministry. It doesn't mean God doesn't want to work on the anger. But in your weaknesses, he's raising you up and he's transforming you. He's helping you. He's supporting you. With time you come into your manifestation, you will not only have manifestation, there's so much you would have done. That's why we thank God. Even when we don't know why, we just keep thanking. This particular ministry doesn't look powerful. But the reason every one of us is celebrated today is because this ministry is there. If God didn't help you, you would have been finished. Men would have stoned you to death. There are some mistakes you made. If men, even till the day you leave this world, if men hear it, they will say, no, let's trace first. That time he did it. Was he born again? Is he a preacher at that time? Wait, let's trace this thing. He said he was ordained in 1992. This accusation came 15 years ago. Let's calculate back. This accusation came in 1994. That means he did it when he was a preacher. This man is fake. Men will never forget to give you. So the Holy Ghost sees it. He has transformed you. He has made you live above it. He still hides it. Because if it comes out, you are gone. The same thing happens in business. Sometimes you make a deal that would have wrecked your whole investment. The day that person is going, he forgets to submit it. You now discover later that, Jesus, what did I sign? you want to die, they now say they didn't submit it. You will come back and thank God. It's called the helps ministry of the Holy Spirit. This one, he does it behind the scene. Many times you will not even know everything he has done. Because sometimes you make a mistake. They now carry that mistake to high corridors where your destiny can be decided. And if they say you are finished there, you are finished. And while they carried it there, they are about to conclude on your matter. Meanwhile, somebody was at home sleeping. The Holy Ghost goes and slaps him to wake up. He wakes up, the Holy Ghost drives him to come for that meeting. As they are about concluding, the person now walks in and says, "What is happening?" They say, "No, nothing, we are finished." "No, tell me now, what's going on? Am I not supposed to hear?" They now say, "Okay, well, since you are insisting, this is what this person did, and we have concluded he will never come again." Say, "Abba, that guy has been here for 5 years. He did this one, he did this one, he did this one. Is it this one thing he did that you want to condemn him?" They say, "Boy, it's a big error. If we leave him now, others will do it." They say, "No, don't be like that. Don't do that." As he's talking, somebody else who was part of that decision will say, "Well, it's true. You are at home sleeping. You don't know they are determining your destiny. But all of that thing happening is the Holy Ghost working. Now, because this person is so big, he will not come back and tell you they were planning to destroy you. I spoke on your behalf." He's too big to do that. And you will never know. You will wake up later and say, "The anointing God gave me is unique. The world is looking for it." You don't know that you are standing because of help. Which anointing? Which anointing? And this is not about ministry. Many people are serving. 6 years is remaining the seventh year for them to be settled. They now make a legitimate mistake. The Oga say it's an opportunity to kick the person out. And somebody who is not even aware of their relationship, maybe is visiting and just passes, and he hears it and says, "No, leave that boy." For your lifetime, you will not know who to thank. But it's called the helps ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is why every day of your life, when you wake up, say, "Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me." Let that prayer not be far from your mouth. If you want to go far, because if the help is withdrawn, you are finished. All your errors will be amplified. And even men who did not make as much error as you have done, they will succeed, you will fail. Hope you know that David made more mistakes than Saul. The difference between David and Saul was that David knew how to access the help of God. Many times he go and lie down. He said, "Lord, I am guilty before you. Only you have I sinned against." He said, "Lord, please take not thy spirit away from me. A contrite heart and a broken spirit," he said, "you will not despise." Meanwhile, Paul is trying to say, "No, I can manage this thing. Let's settle it. Let's do this." One is accessing help. The other one is trying to use his strength. And the point came, the one who is much more guilty is exalted forever and ever. And the one who is less guilty, because he doesn't know how to access help, his high-mindedness denied him help. Until today, he's condemned. It is because of the help ministry of the Holy Spirit that we walk in humility. You are the one shining, but you are the one most humble. Because you don't know why you are standing there. You may come and say, "I pray in tongues for 4 years. I fasted for 7 years. And I've studied the Bible cover to cover 30 times. Then the Holy Ghost will open your eyes and show you the person who is struggling in the village. You read the Bible cover to cover 10 times. That person have read it 35 times. You have fasted for 7 years. That person has been fasting for the last 28 years. Meanwhile, you are exalted. The person is not exalted. So God will show you it's not fasting that lifts men. It's an invincible finger of God. He picks you from the miry clay. You don't deserve it. You don't qualify for it. It's not because you asked. You were not even wise enough to ask. But he is the one that lifted the beggar from the dunghill and establishes him upon thrones that he should inherit them. And so the reason men are standing is not because they are wise. The reason men are standing is not because they are smart. Make no mistakes about it. Anytime you reference your knowledge, you have erred. Anytime you reference your prayer power, you have erred. It means you don't know where your strength came from. There is an invincible finger walking behind the scene that insisted that this one will not fall. There's an invisible finger that insisted that although he is with a filthy garment, but he will not faint. Did you not read? The law of priesthood is that your head must have oil and your garment must not be stained. But Zechariah the high priest was found with a filthy garment. Where they were dictating his destiny, he was not even aware. But right there in the courts of heaven, He said, take away the filthy garment. I know he's guilty, but take away the filthy garment. Put a new garment upon him. Let him continue as high priest. If the high priest is filthy, he's struck dead. But when help comes, he said, we know not what to pray for as we ought to. He said, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. When help comes, even though you don't know the way to go, he becomes the light to your feet, a lamp to your feet. When help comes, even though you are feeble, he becomes the strength of your man, of your spirit. He rises up on your inside. In the day that you should faint, that's the day he rises. And many times, you will know that if not for the help of God, I've gone to the biggest meetings in my life. Most of them I went unprepared. There are certain platforms. I say, Lord, why is it not the day that I was rested? They invite you to mount a platform that gives you the greatest visibility. And that day you came, even you know that you shouldn't preach. You are weak in your spirit. You don't even know the scripture to start with. You stand up and there's no utterance. And then you look up. You say, Lord, help me. Help me. And from nowhere, the wind begins to move. The wind begins to move. Sometimes while you are talking, he shows you somebody. And that person becomes the source of your inspiration. And as you begin to talk, utterance begin to come. And gradually, you sense him rising on your inside. And when he stands on your inside, that day that you are weak, you become a star. Even you will know that we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency may be of God and not of man. There is a ministry of the Holy Ghost that causes us to see the light of day. Without that ministry, every one of us is a failure on arrival. It's not given to man that walketh to order his step. This is why we remain broken. This is why we remain humble before God. We say, help me. I know in this business, I have learned one or two things, but there are many people who don't want me to succeed. I know in this ministry, I have learned one or two things, but many are the afflictions of a righteous man. The righteous man does not come out because he's strong. He comes out because the Lord delivered him from them all. David said, many are my adversaries. He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I don't succeed because I'm wise. I don't succeed because I'm skillful. For thou, O Lord, are the shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. It's called the health ministry of the Holy Spirit. Many of you need to access that ministry. I know you are competent. I know you are smart. I know you are hardworking. But without the help of God, vain is the help of man. Hanasi, hallelujah. Hanasi, hallelujah. Jehovah, O Meriwo, O Meriwo, Dimozi Biniwe. Hanasi, hallelujah. Hanasi, hallelujah. Jehovah, O Meriwo. The second time I was to travel out of the country, which was actually the first time God was opening a door for me to experientially step up, I didn't know what delayed me at home. You are going for an international flight, 45 minutes to the time. You have mad yourself. I read the airport. They say no, they have closed the counter. The people, they can't, you know, the way they do it, they have too many airlines, so you don't have a static office. When it's time for your flight, 3 hours to the flight, they give you the counter. When you are done, you close, you go, another airline comes. They said they've closed counter. Have you never traveled before? What are you coming to do here? I said, just allow me to go. Let me just see for my... The guy say, go. Since you won't let me rest. Before you say, I'm the one that stopped you. I say, Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. I'm wrong. Help me. When I stepped in, they looked at me. They said, where is he going to? I said, I'm going to Zambia. They said, go. What do you think? We are joking here. I said, Lord, help me. Help me. One of the elderly men came and looked at me. He said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, I am. I'm going for a conference. You know how they got my details? They snapped it. They snapped my details, sent it to the person checking in to put it on the computer. And then they were running with me. They ran with me to custom, ran with me. When they finished, I entered the place. They were locking the door. They put me on the flight. My bag could not enter. They sent my bag to Zambia 2 days later. But help, help. will not be correct all the time. No matter how you try, I know you are disciplined, but you will never be correct all the time. There are many times when you will err. You will need that invincible finger to come and make the difference, because there are shortcomings. We are mortals. We are mortals. Many times, our humanity takes the best of us. This is why, in addition to your competence, you ask for help. I was going to Yola for a crusade. I came late. They locked the door. The plane was airborne. Even you know, no, you don't go. Are you all right? Plane, they've locked the door. But they said the president was landing, so the air was frozen. And when they carried me, they carried me through the security checkpoint. And when we got to the plane, I stood. They had locked the door, had moved what they climbed on. The pilot opened the glass. I said, where are you going to? I said, I'm going to Yola. He said, no, I can't take you. I've already been, they've given me clearance to move. Because when they give you clearance, they have weighed the weight of the oil, the weight of the passenger. So you can't add anything. It's illegal. Because the plane flies at a definite weight. He closed the door. I stood there. What will happen here? I can't miss this meeting. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. The man stood up. And when he looked at me the second time, there was compassion in his heart. He forgot that he was a professional. And he told them, they rode back the staircase, put it, opened the door, and I entered. When I entered, they thought maybe he said, this guy came from the presidency. I laughed. They thought I would sit on business class. I walked to the back. They are now wondering, why did they allow him enter? What is the meaning of this? After I entered, the plane took off. You will lose your destiny except you find help. Because sometimes the only mistake you make will be one, but you will make it at the wrong time. Because not every mistake is the same. You can make 10 mistakes. It may not rob you of your destiny, but there is a one mistake you may make that may be a king size error. If help doesn't show up, you are finished. You may be right all the time, but the only time you made a mistake, that was the day you are disqualified. And then you wonder why. This is why everyone must access help. If you don't know how to pray any prayer, one prayer I teach you tonight is, Lord, help me. Help me. There are times when my humanity takes over. Many times I've done everything that I have to be done, but spirits are involved. There are things that will create the affairs of life. Even the consternation is littered with wicked spirits. You need the governor of the realm to pick you out and help you. What makes you think you are more qualified than the other person? The reason the angel will come and say, Hail Mary, full of grace, is not because you are the only virgin. There are many other virgins, but there is favor that help has procured for you. Jehovah, Mary, the helps ministry of the Holy Ghost. You are a politician, you need it. You are a businessman, you need it. You are a preacher, you need it. The welfare of life will swallow you up. The mistakes of your humanity will swallow you up. But when he shows up, he can turn everything around for your good. He can turn everything around. This is why we are moving to today. When they asked Paul, how did you succeed in ministry? He didn't say, I know the oracles of God. He said, I've continued to this day because God has helped me. I've been helped. I'm a man helped of God. Everybody standing is helped. Everybody making impact is helped. Because we are not truly invincible without the help of the Holy Ghost. This is one of the most important ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the things we crave for. Day and night we groan that we may find help before this great God. Say, for we know not what to pray for as we ought to. We know not. Because even the prayer that should give you help, there are certain things that will happen to you. You will not know how to pray. One of the ways to succeed in life is by praying. But there are certain manipulations of destiny. When they hit you, even the prayer, you will not know what to pray. He said, we know not what to pray for. And in case you know what to pray for, he said, you don't know how you ought to pray it. That's why I said the Spirit helped our infirmities. You know the word of God? Many times you will not know the word to quote. You know how to pray? Many times you will know not what you ought to pray for. And even if you know what to pray for, you don't know how you ought to. You must find help from the hills of Zion. He said, from whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord that maketh the heavens and the earth. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. He said, they looked unto him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. The reason is because God helped them. You need to find help, my brothers and sisters. Hard work is good. Competence is good. But what makes the difference is the help of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Jehovah, oh Mary, oh Mary, there are many of you here tonight. You have tried your best. You have worked hard. You have been working in integrity. You have never cut corners. But every time you approach the door shuts. Sometimes you do everything that needs to be done. Men rise up against you. Spirit rise up against you. Tonight is your night. Because the help of God cometh to you. Carissa, give me a song. Pick any song that comes to your spirit. I want to pray for someone. I want you to talk to God from the privacy of your heart. Some of you need to lie down. Some of you need to separate yourself. Some of you need to even hold on to the horns of the altar. Help me, Lord! Help me, Lord! Help me, Lord!
Amen.
You are on ground, you are online. Every man standing is helped of God.
To the Lamb of God
scriptures, there is something strange you will find. Some were condemned, some were justified. Those who God chose, He didn't choose them because they were impeccable. Everyone God chose, check their lives, all of them erred. Jesus was the only perfect man. A man is disqualified because help is withdrawn from him. And a man is justified not because he's accurate or perfect. All of us are growing in perfection. But I tell you, a man is justified because help remains with him. Some of the men you call accurate, some of the men you call genuine, if God showed you where He brought them out from,
If God shows you the mistake they are still making, you will discover the help of God is what makes a difference. I want to pray for you tonight. I don't know what is fighting your destiny. I don't know the errors you have made that have kept you where you are. I don't know the judgment that is upon you now. But I know something that can overturn everything. It's called the help of God. And so tonight, I speak help over you. The help you need to change your story, receive it in the name of Jesus. Some of you are mothers. You cry for help for your children. You stand in the gap for your children. But the problem is that destinies will come. Because you are here, I bring you the witness of the help of God. Most of you are ministers of the gospel. Battles have fought you. Things have caused you to be stagnated. Receive help in the name of Jesus. There are many of you who are businessmen. You have tried many times. In the integrity of your heart, you said you will not sell your hand with God. You will not go before an idol, but you have tried in uprightness. But the doors remain shut. In the name of Christ the Lord, receive the help and move you forward. The Bible said to subvert a man in his course, the Lord approveth not. And so every tongue that is risen against you in judgment, because of the help of the Holy Spirit, now it is condemned. Men have risen and said you will fail. They said they will watch out for you, you will fail. Help the sister under the anointing at the back. They said, watch him, you will fail. I came to report to you this day. You will not fail because of the help of God. Your mistakes will not take you down because of the help of God. Demons and devils will not destroy you because of the help of God. Systemic powers will not bring you down because of the help of God. Some of you, your cases are urgent. You need a quick intervention for things not to go wrong. Except God is not Ebenezer. Now, the altar of Ebenezer is activated on your account. Receive that help now. Receive that help now. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is falling on some of you. Because you are not just receiving help, you become the help that your Lord is looking for. Receive that help now. Oh, you are glorious, so glorious in your ways. You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. hear me? The Bible said mercy prevails over judgment. The most guilty of us is not the worst of us. It's called guilty because help was withdrawn. And so I speak concerning your life. Nothing condemns you in your lifetime. Nothing condemns you in eternity. The help you need to become the best of God, receive it now. Thank you, Father. Some of you, as you leave this service tonight, you will walk into encounters that will redefine your destiny. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Everyone hearing me tonight, you are a candidate of extraordinary impact. It doesn't matter how old you are. Help will restore you. It doesn't matter how young you are. Help will qualify you. It doesn't matter the mistakes you have made in the past. Help will lift you up. It doesn't matter the forces rising against you. Help will be your defense. In the name of Jesus, step into the glorious life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you. Whoever you are standing in for, the help of God is extended. They receive their miracles now. And whatever miracle you are looking for because of the help and the mercy of God, receive that miracle now. I release financial miracles. I release health miracles. I release miracles of open doors. I release miracles of salvation. Every miracle you are looking for, receive it now. Thank you, Father. They will ask you, what is the summary of your life? You will tell them, I'm a man and I'm a woman helped of God. Thank God for anointings. Thank God for graces. Thank God for human connections. But all of it worked for me because God helped me. The help of God will never be removed from your life.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.